Honorable members, Mr. Malema and team, I think we have only one item, that's a briefing by yourselves on the infrastructure problem. I'm told that the traffic is bad. I experienced it myself. So we will pardon those that have not yet arrived, but we can't wait beyond this. So I will hand over to Mr. Malema and colleagues to take us through the report. I see we have visitors at the top there. You are most welcome. I hope you will hear us. We are not too far from proceeding. This is the Justice and Correctional Services Committee that is meeting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all honorable members. I'm here with our team, very small. I've got on my left here Mr. John Mukibi, who is the acting chief director for the infrastructure, who will assist me in the presentation. And then on my right, I've got Mrs. Lorraine Rousseau, who is the CFO for the department. Chairperson, we take pleasure in coming to present to you on the
before we proceed. We have these apologies, Mr. Reardon Hayes, Mr. Honorable Self, Honorable Chabalala, and Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also proffer my apologies at the beginning for only providing the Honorable House with presentation this morning. We had it ready, but when we checked it, we found there were some errors that we thought we should fix. So we do kindly ask for your apologies for submitting the document this morning. We're aware that we need to make submissions 2 days in advance. The presentation will cover the items, such as our vision, mission, purpose, the legal framework, the portfolio of properties that we manage, the budget, the capital works, maintenance, mobiles, the disability program. And we will end the presentation by looking at some of the challenges that we're having, but also providing some possible solutions on how to deal with the problems that we have. I picked up some slight flu on my way here, so my voice is a bit groggy this morning. The vision, I think we've already presented this in various interactions with the portfolio committee, that we're looking at a transformed and accessible justice, a transformed and accessible system that promotes and protects social justice and the rule of law, accompanied by a mission that states we want to provide a transparent, responsive, and accountable justice services to all. We are guided by the following principles of commitment to constitutional values and the culture of human rights, the promotion of the rule of law, and true Africans as well. We are guided by Batubeli principles as well as Ubuntu, good governance, professionalism, and continuous improvement and transparency in everything that we are doing. So we will put the books and the numbers open for the committee to scrutinize. The program that we are presenting today is driven by the Chief Directorate that is called Facilities Management, which essentially exists to support service delivery and enhance access to justice to all by providing habitable buildings that respond to the needs of the justice system and its users. The presentation will directly deal with the concerns and questions that were raised by honorable members of this House pertaining largely to Capital West. I think there are concerns that we're not building courts at a pace, you know, that is reasonable, and that we are also not spending the money that is allocated by Parliament for that purpose, as well as the maintenance of our facilities. And so we'll show during the course of the presentation how much has been allocated, how much has been spent, and show expenditure patterns. But the presentation will also give you just a broad overview of the suite of services that we are offering within the Chief Directorate, coupled, as I said, with some challenges that we've experienced in the past. I will not go into detail on the various legislation and frameworks and regulations, but the most important one are in red, which is GIAM, Government. No, it's the department, but John is our facilities manager. He's the man who liaises directly with public works.
Okay. I just wanted that clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I can proceed. As I said, largely it's GIAM and the devolution of budget framework. So those are largely the main two pieces of legislation that guides how we manage facilities. The slide simply tells of the process that was undertaken when Cabinet approved that we should have a framework of how we manage immovable state assets. And so the bill was passed in 2005 and eventually made into law in 2007. The GIAM itself lists the roles and responsibilities of the department, which is the user on the left, as well as the DPW, which will be on the right on the presentation. The first one is we are expected in terms of GIAM to match service delivery objectives with accommodation requirements. And I think it is correct that we mustn't build without being informed by the strategy of the department. So that first bullet speaks to the correspondence that must be seen, so that we're not wasting money, but that our efforts are directed towards supporting our objectives. We also need to do verification of accommodation that we are occupying. This is basically to avoid people occupying more space than they need, but also assisting us if we need to expand on our facilities. Thirdly, we determine functional performance and utilization, determine how the accommodation is used, and see if there's any gap, determine new accommodation requirements, determine the need for refurbishment or changes on existing accommodation, and determine whether there is any surplus that must then be relinquished in the form of making that space available to other government departments. We are also expected to determine repairs that needs to be conducted on the facilities that we occupy, as well as prepare and manage the budget. The portion on the right really speaks to the work that is for the Department of Public Works, and so I will not deal with that. Jefferson, in terms of the portfolio of properties that we manage, we included a slide there that shows that we are accommodating 672 state-owned facilities and 128 buildings throughout the country. So in terms of percentages, you can see that the bulk of it is state-owned facilities. That is 81% of our facilities are state-owned and 19% of them are privately leased. the numbers. We thought we could just show you from the current financial year moving up to 2016 what the allocation looks like. We have 844 for capital works, 326 for property, leases, municipal services at 329, and accommodation charges at 331. And so you can see the other figures for the MGF cycle as a whole. And you will see that the greatest allocation that we have is on capital works. Jefferson, we thought we should then go into what we are currently managing as in new buildings that we are currently, you know, and I'm sure those are some of the things that would interest the members. We have a high court that is under construction in Limpopo. The project, the progress on the project is that we are almost at 90% completion. And we are expecting that as per the project schedule, that we should complete the building in January 2015. So it's really around the court. We've been to, you know, every time when we go past Limpopo for various meetings, you know, the DG has requested that we just go in there and see and take pictures and send the pictures to show, you know, the status. It is, they are already, you know, sorting out the inside. We set up the forum of all the users to determine the space and, you know, and so the regional head in Limpopo together with the JP, overseeing Limpopo and the DPT, Semic Advocate and other stakeholders that will be using the court, they are meeting regularly to prepare for occupation. At national office, we are busy with a tender process for procuring furniture for the High Court as well as other office equipment. So we do hope that early in the new year, the court will be ready for occupation. Obviously, a project of this magnitude will in most likelihood not be accomplished without several challenges. And we've experienced, you know, various of them which really delayed the project. But the main challenge at the moment, I will not dwell with the ones that happened in the past because we already, you know, resolved those. The main one is parking. And this is parking for users of the court. It's not parking for the court. It's parking that is outside of the High Court itself. We are in discussions with the municipality on the value of the land. The land has an independent valuer, was appointed to determine what is the value of that land because the municipality wants to sell the land to public works. So recently we've got a report of the valuer that the land is worth 4 million. And so we are in discussions with public works. I'm informed that the public works has submitted that we have to make good on the 4 million. So we will then transfer the 4 million. The municipality will then be approached to see whether they agree on the 4 million as the value of the land. So that's really the one issue there. And the second one is around the supply of electricity. You know, because the court is going to take a lot of power within the town, so we also need to be discussing with the municipality to see how we can improve on the grid, as well as opening widening the road with the municipality. This is especially for people that will be moving out of the court and joining the road. The road has been converted into a one-way, so that it makes it easier for people that are, you know, entering and departing from the court. So those are the three main things that Jefferson, we are discussing. We hope that this will be resolved because they really do not affect the operation of the court as well. But, you know, those could be some of the conditions that must be met
before the municipality will allow us to occupy the building. The second major project that we are dealing with is also a high court in Mpumalanga. Progress rates are decided to hand over on the 9th of September 2013, and our progress there is not where we would have loved to see it. Members will recall there's been a lot of problems with that court, even before we started. Just the process of accepting the land that was donated took an unreasonable period. And so that really delayed the start of the project. But eventually, the court, they have started, we've been there. And there are a few issues that we are dealing with the municipality. And we're trying to find each other. It's how the court would be accessed, because the court is on the main road, the national road. And so there are some traffic rules, as you will see, that the municipality has not yet approved the traffic impact assessment report. The colleagues from transport are not particularly happy with the request that we have made that we use the main the highway to actually access and exit to the port. They are proposing that we use a back route which will have to go through a college, an EFT college. Now the authorities in the college are also unhappy that there will be a route that goes through the college, because you know, the campus and their students. And so they also poses a problem for the students. So we are in discussion to try and find a way that is amicable. Our preferred option is probably to have robots, you know, because even though it is part of the national road, but it's almost, you know, closer to the residential area. You know, and there's a lot of businesses on that road. So we hope that the municipality will eventually agree, you know, to the proposal that we have put on the table. And if I'm correct, John, I think we must also do some bridge if we go through the EFT. And so that will also create a lot of cost for us, you know, in terms of putting up a bridge. But it's all in terms of the schedule of the project. We do believe that all things being equal, we should be able to complete this project towards the end of next year. Anticipated 2015, but you know, like it's rainy season that are coming, crossing our fingers that we will not have spikes. And many other unforeseen things, so that we can then give the people of Mpumalanga as well as the people of Limpopo, the high cost, so that they don't have to, you know, be traveling to Pretoria if they need to go to the high cost. So those were the high cost, and then the next slide deals with the district court. The third one is the court in Mamelodi. The chairperson, I think, used to stay, or still stays in Mamelodi, you know that on the main road. We had done a court there. We had a few challenges with the court. The last one that we had to resolve was relating to the community not being happy with a person, a ward councillor, that was nominated to serve as a client liaison officer. So we've been there, we had discussions, and we've asked the municipality to give us a different person, which they have done. And so the project is now back on track. And obviously it had a lot of other problems with appointment of contractors, tenders, lapsing, and all those things led to the delay in starting with the construction. The next court is the Potchefstroom. Here a contractor has recently been appointed. Again, there we had various challenges, as in the delays in the acquisition of the land by DPW, but also the recommended contractor did not have a security clearance,
The adjudication process had to start from the beginning. So we hope that in due course we will be given a new, the site will then be handed over to us so that we can also, start in earnest in building the court. In Pattern Bank Bay, the sketch plans are approved. The municipality and DBW do not agree on the process of the land acquisition. There's some discussions to do some trade-offs. There is a piece of land that the municipality has that one suggestion is we do a swap between the land owned by Public Works and the municipality, and what is the value of who pays what, who gets what. So those discussions are ongoing, and they are, the cause of the delay, because the parties are not, finding each other in terms of whether there's an outright purchase or they are going to swap the land, and what is the value of the land, those kind of things. So those are some of the things that Chairperson, creates delays in the process that we would budget for a court to be built, and a whole lot of other things, come into the picture that delays the process. With respect to Timbanza in the Eastern Cape, the project is at the adjudication stage, and the contractor will be appointed soon. Delays there are created by the site clearance certificate, which in this case is not the fault of the DPW. It is the fault of our users, in the court, where people continuously revise the needs. When they see people coming on, we also want this. We don't like that. We want that. And all those changes that, result in the project being delayed. But we are engaging the municipality and hope we'll resolve this. With Timbanza, we are at the adjudication stage. Again, the site clearance certificates are holding us back, but the matter has also been referred to the DPW National Office because the delegations in the regions are less than what they can handle. So the matter has been referred to National Office. In PG, the project is under planning. We had a problem there in that the site is on the building is on a heritage site. So we've had discussions with the Heritage Council that has finally issued us with a certificate so that we can then clear the land and deal with the vesting processes. I will then announce a person deal with the courts that end down so that we can give you a progress on that. As you know, we have three courts that end down. The first one being Polokwane Magistrate Court in Limpopo. I have been personally involved in that one in terms of the planning. The court will be, we had to agree with Public Works for the sake of progress and movement that we will restore the court to the condition in which it was, according to plans that were already approved. Because if we had asked that it be redone, then that means we have to restart the process of getting somebody to do, appoint an architect, and it would take long. And the reason why we said we would do that is because once the High Court becomes available, there is no need to actually expand on the court, because the current High Court will now be given over to the lower court, and so we will end up with some space plus the court that bent down. So I do not anticipate that we will have problems there. So in order to deal with the space challenges, we had discussions with the regional court president that they should move some of the courts and the regional courts to go into the circuit, into the various communities within, because that will also make the services accessible. And we've had to lease a few buildings, like the one in Nedbank, mostly for the admin people in the NPA. The Pretoria Magistrate Court has also been a sore on our side. We've not moved as much as we would have loved to. You recall this happened a few years ago. The main challenge there was that the tender was allowed to lapse. It was not adjudicated on time. The tender was closed. instead of keeping it listed for a long time, that was not done. And as a result of that, you know, it has to go back with an additional requirement that there must be a 6 months period for cooling off before the new tender can be issued. And in all of this, we've been, it's not like we've been folding our arms, you know, watching our fate taking its own course. We've been in constant discussions with Public Works, you know, expressing our unhappiness with the rate at which and the manner in which they are dealing with our facilities, because, you know, the courts are very important, and there's more people going to the courts, and so we need to find a way that will enable them to accelerate their development. The last court that went down submission is called Sumzangenta. I hope I've corrected, pronounced it correctly. It's in Pongola in KwaZulu-Natal. This court is very sad, Chairperson, what has happened there, because this court is fairly new, and it was built in the community of Sumzangenta, so that the people that do not have to travel to go to town, to Pongola to access services. Now it is completely gutted down, and this was as a result of, if you recall, the killing of a child who was dismembered, and when the people that were arrested had to appear in court that evening, the community then, you know, moved into the court and burned it down. And so we're very saddened about that, and we've had various engagements with communities that nothing justifies the destruction of state assets which are meant for their own good. And so as a result of that, they now have to travel back to Pongola because, you know, the court is now no longer accessible. In South Holding, now dealing with the repair and renovations, whether these are extensions or refurbishments or, you know, additions. The South Holding has also been with us for a considerable period. We hope that Chairperson, by mid next year, we should be done with this court. The main challenge really there was that we had to make changes to comply with new laws that relate to occupational health and safety, because when the plan for the extensions were done, it didn't include that. So we had to make sure that the court is up to date and compliant. But there were also further delays in the fact that when they work during the day, it's noisy. And the courts have sensitive equipment for recording the proceedings. And so if there's drilling and, you know, walls being knocked down, we are unable to properly capture the proceedings. And so you then ended up with a situation where the contractor mostly did the work in the afternoon, in the evening, and also some weekends. So we really lost some time there. But secondly, you know, we didn't really also get the best of cooperation from the court users in terms of, you know, just moving them from one floor to another. And that's how we've been running the project, that, you know, we'll close off a floor, move the people to another floor, work on that floor, and bring them back on that floor, so that, you know, we balance the project in terms of what needs to be done by the contractor, but also ensuring that we do not close the court completely. And obviously, you know, people also making new needs, which meant that we had to go to Public Works for variations and all those things. And so those things that have also contributed towards the delays, we are now left with floors 1, 3, 4, and 8. In Umtata, the traditional accommodation, the project is at the planning stage. We have submitted additional requirements, and therefore we await a site clearance certificate from DPW in Durban. High Court is a renovation and additional work is underway for renovation for phase one, and the additional needs have also been submitted in PE. It's renovation and additional, the contractor is with Bulk West, We are almost at 14%. We are made to understand that the court management is not agreeing with the schedule that was drawn by the contractor. And so we've sent a few people to go there and try and sort it out so that the court management must agree with the schedule, because if they don't allow the contractor to work in certain areas at certain times as agreed, this will result in delays in the project. And the Palace of Justice is an upgrade that largely deals with the upgrade of security, and we are on track there. Further courts that are on R&R or additional, it will be Rustenburg. This also, Jefferson, is a project that has been in the making for a very, very long time. I remember we then had Deputy Minister Sophie, at the time when we were starting this process. We've been to the Rustenburg Magistrate Court. The SARS vacated the space they used to occupy, a portion of the building at the back, and SARS has since vacated. And so we wanted to take over that space so that we can expand the court. As you all know, Rustenburg is also a very fast growing area because of the mines. And so the number of users visiting the courts has grown significantly. And so the tender processes that were made to last created delays. But also the court users also made changes. I recall at one time the plan was not there of the court itself, so we had to get an architect that had to restart drawing up the actual thing because the plan of the building did not exist. And all those things created the delays. And so eventually we are at a stage where we have now given them the money, we're funding it because public works said, look, the money that they had was used, so we funded the project. We hope that the people of Rustenburg will eventually get a very decent court. Tata, Magistrate Court, it's renovation and additional project is at the planning stage. New needs have been added, and so we had to revise it. The Justicia building tenders has been adjudicated and submitted to DPW head office for approval. In Richards Bay, we are at the planning stage, and the new needs delayed the process. In Maritzburg, we are on track. There are no challenges we're experiencing. The English Chambers, we are 95%, and hoping that in early January, we'll then be done with the changes. Jefferson and honourable members, I think this is one was one of your concerns that we are not spending the money as a department that is allocated for infrastructure development. And indeed, it is through infrastructure development that we can also contribute towards job creation and poverty alleviation. And so, if money is not being spent that is allocated, it does undermine the efforts of government to create jobs and relieve people that are poor. The 2014-15 total budget is 844463. The DPW expenditure at this stage is 118. But also there's expenditure on the side of IDT. It's almost 240, and the total expenditure is therefore 351,390, and the balance is 510. There's just some points that I thought the Chairperson we need to clarify that we are projecting a commitment of 356. So those would be for outstanding invoices that will be submitted later, and so we'd need to settle them. And then the 153 million for the period up to March, for the new Polokwane High Court in Mpumalanga. So we put the debt money aside for those contingencies that when the invoices arrive, we will then be in a position to pay. We are also projecting a commitment of 94 million up to the end of the current financial year for various DPW projects. Last week, the CFO and Mr. Mutivi had a meeting with the public works, and this session, I must say, there are ongoing client days and forum meetings between ourselves at national office with DPW, but we also have them in the regions between our regional offices together with the regional management, you know, to look at, you know, what are the problems with the, you know, the projects that, that we're managing. My colleagues informed me that it is very likely, Chairperson, that the 94 million that we were ring-fencing for the invoices that might be coming at the end of the year may not be realizable because the project is not moving. So in total, therefore, we are expecting that we will have an under expenditure of about 150 million. So it is made up of the 60 million and the 94 million plus 60 million that we're projecting. And then this 94 million, we only end of it last week. And so again, this also, you know, creates worries for us that, you know, money is available, but we're unable to use it. Historical Chairperson, these are the allocations for 11-12. We allocated 63, and that money was spent. Following year, 612 that was spent. Last year, we did not spend the entire allocation that we had. We had an under expenditure of 347 million, and so that is a lot of money that we had to take back to treasury. These are some of the challenges that we experience with capital infrastructure. And the first of them, Chair, is you've heard me talk about site clearances. You know, this creates a lot of delays on our site because they must be issued by DPW. And so you find that most projects that are still on planning phase, when they should be implemented, largely because town planning has not issued site clearance certificates and has not been taken over in terms of vesting. But we've also had contractors that have been poorly performing as well. And so you then find that we have to, DPW has to terminate and then reappoint new contractors. And so that process in itself creates further delays. But from our side as well, as a department, we concede that we have not planned properly. Because often when we are then supposed to start building, we then have new needs that arise out of the court. People want additional things, they want things to change. But if you take, especially the period that it takes from the time when the needs are submitted to the time when the building gets under construction, it's a very lengthy period. And this results with, you know, the court users wanting to make variations. For example, the court may have grown in the sense that there's more people. There could be a community in and around there that has grown. So we need to find a way in which we shorten the process from the time when we start to the time when the construction starts. Because if the construction is going to start after 7-8 years, you know, the needs have completely changed. And so people say, but, you know, why are you building this when, in fact, our needs are now the following? We now then have to start doing the variations to take into account the new needs and therefore the delays that then arise. Appointment of consultants has also, you know, led to the delays. Legal challenges around the tender processes, you know, have also led to that. The failure sometimes by public works to adjudicate, you know, that has also created the problems, but also just the communications between ourselves and public works. I will now move to another area, session on maintenance of the facilities. And I think this is one of the questions that were raised and concerned raised by the Honorable House. And the planned maintenance of state-owned buildings is carried out by public works. And this these things through their own budget. At the moment, our delegation as a department is on day-to-day maintenance, which is up to the limit of 100,000, which is, if you look at the cost of building and all that, is not enough. And so we may have money, which the regional has, being the people that have the delegations to execute, but because the financial delegations are lower, they are forced to only deal with minor issues. So we are in discussions with Public Works to revise these delegations so that, the regional heads have more delegations so that they can deal with a little bit more when it comes to maintenance. Previously, DPW was responsible for minor capital works, and they've since moved away from that, which means we no longer have that project. And this results in us not being able to do proper maintenance on our facilities. The meeting that I referred to earlier on the discussions between the CFO, Mr. Mutili, and the CFO and their counterparts in Public Works, which took place last week, if I recall properly, there is now an appreciation that they need to revise the delegations, but also we've been asked to present to Public Works a list of items that we believe could constitute what we call, again, minor works. Small things like a carpet is damaged in a court. We have to go through Public Works to deal with it. So there's a lot of small things which, because we don't have minor works, we're unable to attend to those. So we're hoping that, once they give us the delegation, we'll be able to take care of a few things, because at this stage, really, we're hamstrung. There's very little that we can do. But, Jefferson, let me also add that from the side of the department, we are also looking at beefing up the facilities directorate at national office, because we also have fewer people there. But most importantly, we would want to employ professionally qualified people that come from the built environment in the regions. At this stage, the people that we call facilities managers in the regions, they have no training or qualifications in facilities. It's simply people that we took from other areas in the regional offices and assigned them, that function. So we are working with the CFO together with HR to then do a job analysis that will result in a job evaluation and the creation of at least a project manager in a region, so that we have somebody in the region who can engage with Public Works and understand what is going on, as opposed to trying to manage the portfolio from national office. So in short, we are looking at strengthening our capacity at national office. The next slide, Chairperson, we have a fuller version of what is contained in the planned maintenance of our facilities. So what we have here is we get this data from the system that Public Works uses. We do not have that. They simply give us the report. But this gives you a sense of the areas where we have planned maintenance, listed like Bloemfontein, Cape Town, and then the amount allocated, the expenditure, the balance. But in the middle there, Chairperson, if you look at the percentage expenditure, you will then see that the only place where there is a significant movement in terms of planned maintenance is the regional court in the Northwest. And that's why, if you look at the total expenditure there on planned maintenance, we are sitting at 29%. And so there is massive, even though this money is, funded by Public Works, they drive the project, it does have an impact on our facilities in that the rate at which we are maintaining the facilities we are far behind on that if we can only spend 29%. So if the House pleases, Chairperson, we can, when I finish with the presentation, give you a detailed breakdown by projecting here. When you say Bloemfontein, it's not just Bloemfontein, it's actually maybe the correct way you should have been Free State, because there will be various offices within the Free State, and you will see whether it's a court, whether it's an office accommodation, you will see when it started, how much has been spent, you know, so you'll have the whole history of, you know, this project. And this is one report that's Chairperson we are getting, but it's also not quite up to date, because it must be updated by the regional managers of DPW, so that the national office, they can then, you know, make the necessary changes. But we ask for this because then it gives us a sense of where DPW is with respect to maintenance of our facilities. The next slide deals with the procurement of mobile units. These are really your park homes. The park homes or mobile units, exception, I'm sure you have seen a few of them in our course. It's not the ideal that we would like to provide, but in the absence of significant traction being realized on capital works, we thought we should rather take some of the money that is not going to be spent on capital works and shift it towards the procurement of mobile units. So we've got a tender that was issued, approved. We have the money that we have provided. If you go to the next page, you will see the allocations that we have made to the various regions, and they are at various stages of procurement. And so this will alleviate the areas where there is dire need for space. And obviously some courts do not have the space as well. And so, you know, even though they may have problems with space, because a truck must reverse into the yard and deliver the mobile, some courts do not have, you know, the luxury of the space, and therefore they will not be covered. So we thought that instead of sending the money again back, we have the permission from Treasury that we can use some of the money to allocate to the regions. And so that is the allocation per region, 57 million. We will, Chairperson, we don't have an update as to where each region is, but we can get you that, so that many of them have already issued the spoken with the service providers, again, on many of the sites to go and see whether, you know, these mobiles would be, you know, suitable, agree on the sites where this would be placed. And so we are engaging, therefore, with a public works together with the municipalities, because, you know, we must then get permission of the municipalities to connect electricity, but also to connect the sewage, so that we get permission. And again, there we are hitting a bit of a snag. Some municipalities are, you know, really cooperating, and others we're not getting joy, but we are engaging with all of them together with public works just to assist us so that we are able to use the money for the mobiles as an interim measure. The next slide session deals with a program for people with disabilities. As a department, we would like to ensure that we do not discriminate against people with disabilities. We would like to ensure that we recognize, promote, and uphold their constitutional rights, and so that they are treated like all other citizens. And so A few years ago, we then embarked on a project which was really looking at minimum modifications to provide for the needs of people with disabilities. Then 120 million was set aside for DPS, for IDT. They were really the main drivers of the project, and DPW was then allocated 10 million per annum to manage the project. The changes that were really done there nicely included putting up ramps and rails, but also modifying at least one ablution facility to enable people that are on the wheelchair to access the bathrooms. And we should be the first one to concede to a person that that is not good enough. There should be at least, on various floors in a court, a facility that is specifically designated for people with disabilities. And so when we then go to phase two, that is where we would then like to do more with providing for the needs of people with disabilities, looking at things like lifts, which lifts should have, should be written also in Braille, but also should be voice activated to indicate whether it's going up or down, if it's stopped, and what floor it is, and so that even people with disabilities, are able to, on their own, press the floor to which they are going, instead of being made to depend on others, because that denies them their full humanity. We will also put more ablution facilities, as I said, ramps, rails, in the courts themselves. We are also looking at modifying the witness box so that a person who's in a wheelchair can also be able, and that will also mean widening the areas where the wheelchairs can move and park in. And when we don't have a shaft for a lift, we are looking at putting up a stair, it's called a stair lift. That's the most that my English could get. I think it's here in the parking where, a person gets onto a device that lifts them up, and then they're able to go up the lift, as opposed to being asked to be picked up and, taken to the next level. And so if you look at the portfolio of our course, this will clearly take us a long period, but there is commitment from our side that we need to get started with the project. The phase one project, Jefferson, that was dealt with by IDT when they were on board, they really did a lot of work there for us. But subsequently, there were a lot of legal disputes between themselves and DPW, which meant that for a period of 3 to 4 years, whilst the legal issues were being attended to, the project then came to a halt. And so we have not been, moving with the modifications of our facilities because of the problem that we had between, DPW and its implementing agencies. And so we will then move some of the balance of the phase one course to be part of phase two, but we'll then combine, the remainder of phase one together with what is planned for phase two. So to date, DPW has managed to complete 116 projects, and the outstanding 136 are planned to be completed in the ensuing years. And so we're hoping that we will end it with the 252 courses that are remaining. We have prioritized the list of 187 courses or buildings that public works has to deal with. And so this year, by the end of this month, they ought to have completed an assessment of 83 facilities, which unfortunately has not yet happened. The same thing with finalization of the projects currently in construction due end of this month. That is also behind, but we are planning the construction of projects implemented by DPW funds for people with disabilities, you know, to run until 2015. We also added our own money so that we can accelerate the project. The expenditure is expected to be, you know, 20% this year, 45% in 15-16, and 35% in the outer year of 2016 and 2017. And you will therefore see the allocation that we have made for the project, DOJ Chapter Estimated Project, 16 million, and DPW at 4 million. I will then move to list buildings. We have leasing 120 office buildings from private landlords. And so the table there shows you that the number of leases per province, as well as the validity of leases that are current and the leases that have expired, which in the last column they are referred to as the leases under review. Now the last column, it should be a cause for concern for all of us because these leases have actually expired. And obviously, they pose a danger to about 29% of our total portfolio. The 85 represents 71% of our portfolio. 10 in Gauteng, 6 in Western Cape, 6 in Free State, 4 in Limpopo, 7 in Eastern Cape, 1 in Northern Cape, nothing in Limpopo, and 1 in Northwest. So we've been engaging public works around the need to ensure that leases are renewed on time. I think if I'm correct, Chairperson, last year the master's offices in East London, the landlord threw them out because the lease was not renewed. And so we are in constant discussions with public works, you know, to make sure that, you know, they renew the leases on time. Because if they don't, then we go on a month-to-month. And when you're on a month-to-month contract, the landlords are not willing to do the upkeep of the facility. The allocation then and the expenditure on private leases is 3.26 for the current financial year, the municipal services 3.29 million. Accommodation 331 and upgrading, we are at 57. In terms of expenditure, private leases, the baseline was 326, and then we remain with a balance of 125, municipal services. So there's been some movement here, Chairperson, but we are worried that the money that we have, as you can see on the next slide there, that the budget deficit, the red line shows the commitments in terms of what we need to pay, and the blue bar shows the actual allocation. And so you can therefore see that we have less money than the commitments that we have. So less money is allocated to leases. And so the net effect of that is that, you know, we may overspend in this area because we already know that our commitments are actually in excess of the money that is allocated to us. With municipal services, we are comfortable, Ledger Person, that we have enough money to deal with it, even if we may have some increases, we will be able to absorb it. The challenges that we experience on leases, as I've already mentioned, that it takes some time for the leases to be renewed, but public works is attending to that. There has been some change, it's not exactly where we'd like to have it. But also the leases will now run for 3 years, which is another problem in that it takes almost a year to to do relocations and settle and set up and, you know, do everything else to run the business. And then you have 2 years to stay there. And then you must then move to another building. And so we're spending money, you know, in motion, literally. Because the business gets disrupted, your PBX, you know, we must then engage telecom to come and put up new lines, we must, you know, put up network points, we must put up signage on the outside to show people, you know, the regional office has now moved to this place, we must do branding. And in that time period, we need to pay people. Our bus is now vessel, is not a, so in that 1 year of relocation, property gets damaged, property develops two legs, disappears, you know, so it's a very untenable situation to have leases running at a very at a period of 3 years. As I said, we really spend, we throw away money, you know, literally, because after 3 years, then we must take out the signs, you know, can take out the paint, whatever changes we've made in that building, we now have to move. And the landlords are now also not willing to contribute towards tenant installation because the period is short. And so they, you know, they think they're going to run at a loss. Why modify this building when the people are going to stay for 2 years? So that's basically the broad challenges with this. Coupled with the fact that obviously, you know, there is growth in the offices. And so if an office moves to a new facility because a lease has expired and they must move to a new facility, and because the budget is limited, as I've shown you in the previous graph, they are actually going to move to a place where they are going to have less space because the rentals are more expensive. And so, you know, the space shrinks because the budget is not growing. And so we are engaging with Public Works to ask them to reconsider, you know, the 3 year period because it's really too short and it frustrates a lot of us. The challenges on the disability program, as we said, you know, the legal disputes between Public Works and its implementing agencies did create problems for us, but they have since resolved that. But we also had some delays in the heritage councils on some of the cases that are heritage sites. You know, we need their support. So that those would be broadly the issues with facilities to be modified for people with disabilities. Our proposals, as I move towards the end, is that we must obviously continue to engage DPW, which we are, in spite of the frustrations that we have. We know that we can't walk away, you know. We will continue to engage. We have spending CFO meetings. We have client liaison. The DG is also having a meeting. The regional heads are having meetings to deal with those kind of things so that we manage our portfolios properly. I mentioned that as a department, we need to do proper planning, and hence we need to capacitate the office of the led by the chief director facilities so that we have properly qualified people to manage on our behalf. So we'll strengthen those. But we're also looking at exploring other options, you know, whether we should go the triple P route or the BOT route. So that we find a different way of accelerating the construction of facilities, because at the pace at which we are going, Chairperson, I'm not sure how many years it's going to take us to actually go through the things that we want to do. It's going to take us a very long time. And I also do believe, Chairperson, that perhaps the way in which the services facilities are structured within the Public Works is the people responsible for that maybe needs to be relooked, because I think the portfolio is too big. I mean, if you consider that this is one department and there's many other departments with many other problems, so there needs to be a new model of how Public Works is configured to enable us to deliver on infrastructure development for the government. I think some of the things that you have already referred to as in capacitating the DPW, you know, discussion with them on their strategy, you know, but also DPW strengthening their regional offices, you know, giving them more delegation so that they can also be able to take decisions. The finance vice chairperson just shows you the capacity that we need to create in order to be able to properly deal with facilities as the Kiama legislation. We need people in planning, property investment, property management, asset management. I did not deal with gardening and services because that is another area that is lying with public works, and we are in discussions with them that they want to bring back the functions to us to manage them. We don't have a problem with it, but they're not willing to give us the money for those services. And we said, look, we can't accept functions and the money stays with you. And so we're trying to sort that out. And so you may know that in some of our courts, when the contract expires, it also takes some time for new contractors to be appointed by public works. I know in South Holding, you know, last year, there were such issues where sometimes staff members have to clean, or sometimes, you know, we have to get people on contract, appoint the cleaners, just to make sure that the court is clean. So that's Jefferson, all that we have for you. As I said, we do have a different presentation that shows the list of facilities that are under planned maintenance. And so I should stop at this stage, and if my colleagues have anything to add, they can do so, and then can, you know, be directed by yourself as well to move forward. Thank you.
Mr. Lema, now I understand why Honorable Swart wanted to know whether public works is here, because this is a depressing story that we are here. Honorable Swart.
Chair, thank you. As you correctly indicate, this is not a good story. And that is why we earlier, in one of our first meetings, we suggested that we might need to have a meeting with the Public Works Portfolio Committee. We suggested assistance, whilst all the blame does not lie with public works necessarily, but we do, I still hold the view that we need to ask our minister. We understand there are different engagements, but clearly there's a problem with public works, and I would agree with Mr. Malema that it seems that they've got too much to deal with. They've got a turnaround strategy, they've got a lot of issues that they're trying to deal with, but service delivery is struggling. And it's very difficult to hold our officials accountable when it is in the hands of another department. So, Chair, I think that we need to think about that. We need to maybe you need to speak to the minister or say, would you speak? We understand there are different levels of talking. CFO, you're speaking, the DG is speaking, but it seems that we are going backwards. And if one considers, Mr. Malema, what you said, that there are major challenges in meeting the infrastructure development issues. Now, when we expressed our concerns about $347 million underspending, that's beyond your control. So we see then the department, the newspaper says the Department of Justice underspent by $347 million, but it's not their fault. And that is the problem. Now we're sitting with $150 million possibility. Again, it's underspending. We try to argue for more funds for you, but then there's underspending on the other side. So those are issues that you've got our fullest concerns and sympathy. That having been said, we, in the fourth parliament, also suggested that all existing maintenance should first be completed before new capital expenses should be incurred, and maybe you can comment on that. We understand there are needs, and it's difficult to balance those different needs, like the new courts in Limpopo and Mpumalanga. But that was a thought at that stage. Then just on the issue of the Mpumalanga access, it just seems strange that at this late stage there's a problem about access. Why would that not have been set up right from the word go when you bought the site, or when whoever did that public work? Surely, I heard my colleagues thinking, you know, surely you're looking at access, and I need a little bit more information about that. Then in the fourth parliament, you might remember, we visited South Gauteng Court. And that was a major concern. We know that that is one of the busiest courts in the country. It's the nub of our economy. And we met with the deputy president there. Chair, I don't know if you were with us those meetings, but there were other members there. And the judges were expressing great concern. And we were given the assurance that it will be finished. And the very cut-off date, at the outside date, was the end of this year. It will be finished. Now we see it's into next year. There isn't a date even given. And that project itself has come a number of years. And we understand there were changes, and we understand that, but surely now we need to know, because they were given the assurance that it will be finished. When, according to the report that was tabled recently, it said December 2014, you, Ms. Malema, and our friend, is going to be to next year. How far are you with that? You say there are about 5 floors that are still outstanding. I know that building is 15 floors or 12 floors. Can you give us a percentage? How far is it done? Could you also then, as far as the department is concerned, you said officials are appointed to do maintenance or to oversee maintenance that are not properly trained. And that is a problem. But why were they appointed in the first place? You said they were to do the liaison. And then a very important point that isn't raised yet at all was the report from the Ministerial Task Team on the adjudication of sexual offences matters. You've dealt with everything else, but you haven't dealt with the infrastructure required for the sexual offences courts, the separate waiting room and the separate courts. Now that is a key. That had been decided at the ministerial level. Is what is being done to do that? Because we know the scourge of sexual offences, and it is, this parliament has said it's a high priority. We passed that designation of courts, and we need to know that. So, Chair, just again emphasising that I understand and I've got sympathy for the officials there, the difficulties that they face, but we need to find a way to go forward. Otherwise, you know, I was quite shocked at the comment that Mr. Malema made that when you issue a tender 7-8 years later, the needs have changed. But surely it can't take 7-8 years for public works to process that, and by that time the needs have changed. So it is an issue that I think that we as the Fifth Parliament can address in a holistic fashion to see what can be done. Because my experience on other portfolio committees is that this is an ongoing issue with many other departments, Chair. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Chair. I will start by the sexual offences court chairperson, and apologize that we didn't include that in the specifically. I can just off-cuff recall that I think we modified, I think, 23 courts in the last election year, if I'm correct. And this year we had planned 12 or 13. But I can give you the details. We had made progress in terms of the APP. Last year what we had, we actually exceeded that. This year we will conclude the number that we planned, which is, I think, probably 18. But I'll give you the actual details. The only difference, Jefferson, with the Sexual Offences Court is that when we started the project, we agreed that, because it requires changes, you know, modifications, we agreed that let's look at the courts that are easy to modify. Because if we're going to break walls and do all those sort of things, we must get permission from public works. So we thought, let's go and see which are the places that would require, least assistance from public works, so that we can move with greater speed. And so that was the approach that we have taken. In fact, last week we were discussing with the vulnerable groups and Mr. Mutili here, who's responsible for facilities there. We might then start working with Public Works on the facilities that are going to require the changes, you know, in terms of their infrastructure, because that is going to take time. But as I said, Chair, apologies that we didn't, you know, bring along the actual details, but they are available. I just don't want to say things that I am uncertain about. The question with respect to officials, you know, doing work of facilities, indeed that is an internal problem that we ought to have taken care of. And that's why I said we are looking at providing the regions at least with a post of a deputy director. And the CFO is looking into the money for that, so that we have people that are properly capacitated and can engage, you know, Public Works or other contractors that they might find on site. John can get us the actual date for South Gauteng. But as I mentioned, the challenge is, you know, moving people from one floor to another to clear up the floor, you know, being constrained from working during the course of the day because of the noise, which affects the recording. I'm not sure if you could actually.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start with Mpumalanga in terms of the access road to the building itself. Maybe there are two issues actually that need to be attended. The first one is that, as we have mentioned, that the traffic impact assessment has not yet been approved, which actually proposed that the access road should be along Samora Machel Road. But having said that, the reason why it is not yet approved is because in our submission, we requested that the access road should be along Samora Machel, but the municipality, though unofficial, they have informed us that that access road that we are proposing will be within 100 meter distance from the instant robot along that road, and it is unacceptable. That was the reason why we had to look at the access through the SEP college. But what compounded the issues there was that this site actually, it has two sets of documents, which is the deed of donation and the purchase, it was sold to the private landlord. And then the private landlord was asked to donate a certain extent of land to government. Now, in the deed of, in the sale agreement, actually, it was mentioned that the private landlord will secure an access road and the bulk infrastructure for the entire development within that 4 hectare piece of land. But then the deed of donation, which was now the donation from the private landlord to the government, was silent on that particular issue. We have raised this with Public Works to say, in actual fact, it is the responsibility of the private landlord to provide such access road to us. And then they have taken the matter to their legal unit within Public Works to look thoroughly into the process of the purchase agreement and the deed of donation. So I think that what created all these particular issues. On the South Gauteng High Court, it was very much unfortunate that when this project started, the project manager or through Public Works, little did they know that there were certain issues that were supposed to be done. They couldn't see them. They only realized that they have to replace the electromechanical installation within the building when they were sweeping off the ceilings on the floor that they worked on. They had to do another...
Very sorry, Chair, I don't want to interrupt my colleague, but we know all that information.
Okay.
So when we were there, we were told of all the refurbishment and the changes, and we were still then given the assurance that notwithstanding all the changes, notwithstanding the fact that people had been moved, it would be finished by the end of this year. All those issues were already raised.
Yeah.
You follow? But now we were told that as a portfolio committee, the challenges, and that's why we were told it's going to be taken for the end of 2014. That was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we were told those challenges, but now it seems that it's going to go extended. And I understand it's not your problem, it's public works. But it just seems that it's open-ended again, you know. That, and so, have you got an idea of when it will be finished?
Yeah.
And I'm very sorry, I apologize for interrupting you.
No, it's fine, thank you. The project, in terms of the project execution plan, they are supposed to complete the building in December 2015.
The report says December 2014. And that is the report we've just received, the annual report by the department. So, you see somewhere, is that now information subsequent to the annual report that has now come to light?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, I suppose that is the case because of, as we are talking now, the additional work that's supposed to be done, we are informed by the Department of Public Works that they have been submitted to DG Public Works for approval. And I think last week Friday we were told that the DG has approved those evaluation orders. So they will start as any time from now on. Yes.
Any other questions before we proceed? Honorable Mpumulwana.
I just wanted to find out about the new court building that you build. Do you cater for children's courts and other specifics that are needed for rape cases and things like that? That's the first question. The second one, I understand that there are problems. I don't know who is responsible. For example, in Mdata High Court, there is always disturbances there because the electricity, I don't know whether it's load shedding or whatever, but it's usually electricity is very unreliable in that area. So the courts sometimes have to adjourn for, and that delays the work of the court. Who, and you know, who is supposed to put generators in such courts, for example, to cater for that. Secondly, there are times when municipality withdraws some services because payment has not been done. Electricity has not been paid, or water has not been paid, or something like that. And that disrupts the work of the court. Who is supposed to cater for that? Is it you or is it public works? Thirdly, I just want to find out about the question of leases. I understand that we are trying to get more land to get so that you build your own court. That brings me to the question, how far are you in planning that so that you, next time you don't lease any properties? Because the cost, for example, for your wife is permanent. I think you've got permanent jobs and permanent costs and so on. But you seem to be having quite a lot of things that you lease, housing and in the Eastern Cape. Why do you keep on for, and for how long are you going to do this? What are your plans to terminate them, the leases? You also agreed that they are short leases and you want long leases. this is why I want power. What plans do you have, at least so that you don't live? I mean, if you want, I understand if you take more than 9 years of a lease, it has to be registered to the people of English. So you want that, and for how long do you want to live? 19 years, 20 years, what are your plans? How do you tie these two? The need to have your own building and the need to have long leases. Thank you.
Let me thank our department officials for the presentation. Chairperson, on band, most of my comments and questions have been taken by Honorable Swart, covered by Honorable Swart. I would like to have clarity on band buildings. Is it possible for us to have a full, complete report? Most especially that the Polokwane Court forensic report is said to be non-conclusive. So is it possible to have a full report of all the three band courts? And again, the third one in KZN. Also, maybe in a nutshell, before you'll forward that very full report. Because as you already alluded to, you say it was banned by members of the community who were protesting because one of the local kids was dismembered there. So for now, can we have progress as to whether the necessary steps were taken to ensure that similar incidents do not occur? And then again, I also have progress in respect of the following four branch courts, which according to Department's Annual Performance Plan of 2014-15 are to be converted into full service courts. Yes. Again, Chairperson, and then progress in respect of construction work on 6 new magistrate court, which is said to be, in another term, said to be begin in this financial year. On the issue of understanding, yes, it has been covered. For now, thank you. Okay, there's a project by the DG Mesindani of Idirele. May that also be pending, be unpacked. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, firstly, I think the issues we as a committee should have with DPW has been properly raised by the Honourable Swart. However, I think in the department's own admission, there is an element also of poor planning on their part which contributes to the delays. And on page 39 of their presentation, one of the proposed solutions is that in future, planning should be done properly. So my question would be, given the fact that the department itself has identified this, what measures have they put in place in the meantime to prevent their own poor planning from contributing to future delays in projects. Then, Chair, also, the committee would remind itself that when we were first briefed just after the elections, it was also stated in the briefing by the department that the department might explore the possibility of employing other implementing agencies than the DPW. It's now 4 months later, and like the Honourable Swart said, despite the turnaround strategy we are aware of, it does seem as if things with DPW is getting better. So the question is, have the department in the meantime started to consider other implementing agencies? And if not, by when will the department consider this? And then in addition to that, there's also in the department's own presentation the possibility of exercising an option of taking over some custodial functions itself in terms of projects. Why has the department not exercised that option, given the fact that the DPW custody of projects has been found to be wanting in material aspects? Then she, finally, in terms of maintenance, I would like to ask, in terms of the tables given to us there on page 22 of the presentation, it would seem that at this stage then, at Bloemfontein or the Free State, nothing has been spent on maintenance in this financial year, and one finds it very difficult to believe. And then turning a page back there at the presentation, it also seems as if the whole issue of maintenance at this stage is wanting, with certain procedures in terms of the ramp process being shelved by the DPW. So I would just ask to want to get a clearer picture of what is the practical situation of the undertaking of maintenance at this stage, who is responsible, and as to what extent can the department itself undertake it, and if they are able to undertake more and more of the maintenance itself, what measures put in place to at least see to it that jurisdictions spend on the maintenance budget in order to prevent a further backlog of maintenance, because we all know ultimately maintenance not done in a few years' time calls for capital projects. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been largely covered by previous speakers, particularly with regard to the Department of Public Works and the questioning of themselves. My concern is largely the Pretoria Magistrates Court. This court burnt down a number of years ago. And for many years, absolutely nothing was done. It was just closed off and left as is. Now I see that the tender was advertised and closed on the 4th of March this year. And again, nothing is going to happen simply because it was allowed to expire and needs to be re-advertised. That court is operating under huge constraints with regards to space. And this situation is really just untenable. I'm sure that there must be something that can be done to speed up this process. And also, similarly, in the South Gauteng High Court, that building is shocking. The conditions there are shocking, and I understand the difficulties of working while the building is occupied. But I struggle to see how compliance requirements on fire and safety regulations could be unforeseen. This is the Department of Justice, and we're talking about legislated regulations. How can they be unforeseen? On whose behalf were they unforeseen, and how is that shortcoming now going to be made up timely? Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. The evidence for the report. It obviously means that there is a problem in this area of work. And I think it's because when one looks at the level at which you're actually working in this area of work, it means you probably are biting more than you can manage to as a department. Too many projects all at once, especially when you take into consideration construction of new courts, which of course we cautioned about previously when we received the report about the state of, the bad state of some of the courts. And there was that call that we need to really address those courts, which have seen inspectors falling and things like this. So basically, I think you really need to restructure how you deal with this area of work within the department. Otherwise, at this level, it's never really going to come to a stage when they're right. Because it's just too many things, and half the things that you've got to do have got to do with other departments. It just becomes difficult to manage. And of course, like Honorable Schwartz has indicated earlier, it would have been nicer also to have public representation here, so that you can actually be in the position to engage and come to clearly understand to exactly where the problems are. And I must reiterate the issue of a request for a report on costs that were laid down. So that it does not become a problem, because we hardly understand what are the real reasons. You have some of the reasons, but you need to understand also what are the real reasons, because it's a problem if you find that the place that your court gets burned down, when it has got business that may actually benefit even criminals if the court gets burned down. So a report of that nature will actually be appreciated. And what action has been taken if there's already many crime that has been identified, where people are arrested, and how many of those people are arrested, and what happened to them subsequently. We need to understand that. And then the report hasn't said anything about the file storage in terms of infrastructure. Do you still have any trench storage? Or is it part of the leases that you actually mentioned, the 120 leases? If you can just clarify on that. And my worry also is that you keep on indicating that there's been delays for this and that, and the delays that actually articulate into more money, and maybe it might be connected to also the fact that the projects are too big for you to be in the position to really manage to design and control. But also, one wonders whether you do due diligence in terms of whoever you're going to actually procure the services, so that whoever comes in will be in the position to manage to complete the work. Because moving forward, I think what we need to focus on is to complete all of these courts that we have started. And of course, for now, we don't actually clearly agree on the date we have indicated previously that you'll be completing these projects. But the sooner we actually complete most of these projects, the better, because it becomes expensive. If you look at, I think it's South Haute High Court, for example, I think we had to pay more than 300 million, something like that, on top of the money that was actually initially targeted. Just because of the delay. So the delays are expensive. But at the same time, when you look at the Omidia Connection Framework, what's interesting is that there's delays, and some money is not utilized, but the costs are escalating. If you can just clarify to what is going on, because I don't understand. Because, you know, sometimes you might actually budget so much for this year for infrastructure, and then find that with subsequent years, then you may actually require less. But here, when you look at it, you will still require more and more. And don't you think that mobile clinics also are going to actually compound the problem? Because we already have so much that we're finding difficult to manage. Now we are bringing in mobile clinics. And then the other thing that is important is to look at specialized courts. The sexual offences court, the infrastructure thereof, you can just comment around it, because it's infrastructure that is important, the cameras and things like that, as to whether you it's something that really is receiving your attention. The maintenance cost itself, how you actually upgrade maintenance costs. You had a lot of calls for improvement of maintenance costs so that they are user-friendly for, especially the majority of the clients who are women. Small claims costs that we need to actually take into rural areas, what is the strategy? And my belief would be to look at the infrastructure that we already have in rural areas, instead of us going to build from scratch small claims costs, so that it does not really actually add on to the problem that you've got. The tutela care centers, we haven't made a comment about them. Are we having everything perfect? in that area. And then how do you really monitor your lease termination? Because you indicated that, I think it's the master's office was actually shut out of the building because that you didn't pay. How do you monitor termination? So that you can maybe in time, you know, maybe within so many months, start engaging Department of Public Works so that you don't actually find ourselves coming to a situation where we are actually faced with the embarrassment of having our offices really being closed down. Thank you, Chair.
I'm just wondering whether we're not wasting our time. Because yourselves have just been lamenting. And the honorable members are lamenting. I would have expected that after this discussion, there would be pointers to say we were here, now we are going there. But it doesn't seem that we are going to get there. Whether we shouldn't actually have the two departments together with their DGs. They must tell us where we are going. Because you are going to respond, but your response depends on someone who is not here. How do you get a way forward in such a situation? Mr. Malema, can you assist us? Do you think you can take us anywhere in this situation?
Jefferson, the things that I have said about the challenges, it's the things that frustrate us every day, you know, and we thought we should lay them bare, that we want to do, there's a lot that we can do, because at least we've had the fortune of having a budget. You know, but if the money that we give to a department to assist us, and there is no movement, I agree with you that, so that it's fair, you know, the public works and ourselves, we sit in one room before the portfolio committee and agree on, you know, what are the challenges, what do we need to do, what do we need to prioritize on. I can tell the members here that historically, especially in the former homelands, the courts were not built to the courts. The schools, you know, converted to schools, and the buildings were not extended to cope with the volume. And there is now more people coming to court. There's more legislation that has been passed, sexual offenses, child justice, children's act, that require certain things, equality, PEPUDA, that require certain designs of the court. But our infrastructure has not moved in tandem with it. And so, Chair, I don't want to give you the same answers on things that depend on us. Even where Rustenburg, for example, maintenance is the duty of public works. They allow the tender to lapse. And then when they restarted, they said they don't have money. We gave them money. Now we gave them the money. So fine, we know it's our court because we want to get it in the service. Here is the money. In spite of that, there is a challenge. And I have said earlier on, Chair, that indeed, even from the side of the department, we have not built the necessary capacity from our side to be able to deal with some of the things. I think one member mentioned as to why we simply appointed people. I think that was we didn't really advertise posts. We simply moved people that were occupying certain positions and assigned them, you know, that responsibility, because there was no one who was assigned there. Towards the end of the presentation, I've shown and indicated that we will now be giving the regions posts for, in fact, we had wanted to create a directorate of property in the regions. But with the recent cuts that have been announced, the CFO suggested that, look, let's also scale down and then we'll build this capacity over time. Chair, I agree with the suggestion that we should be looking at having the joint meetings before the House, because we've been having the meetings with them, and in some instances we've made some headway, in some instances we've not made headway, and so maybe from their side they could also explain as to what are the challenges. We will meet the reports that have been requested on the Ben Court for Pongola, Pretoria, and the Polokwane one. I think we just got the latest one was from Polokwane. We just got the latest one from the one that we said is inconclusive. We will make that available. On the latest Jefferson, we do realize it's a loss. The better approach is to build. We are mindful of that. It's a loss, it's expensive, it doesn't solve the problem. The best way to solve the problem is to deal with a new infrastructure, to build new courts. The new courts that we are building, when we build a new court, we've developed a blueprint which Mr. Mutibi here can share with the committee. So that we have a sense of, when you say we're building a magistrate court, what should it have? What are the minimum things that it should have? So we've got that blueprint that then guides us, when we then build the court. So that we don't go back a few years later and say, oh, we forgot the children's court, we forgot the equality court, we forgot the sexual offenders court. So we've built those things into the blueprints that we have. I agree, Jay, that we have taken more than we can do. But we have to make critical choices between, especially for the regions where, like the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, where the conditions in the course are not very good. We have to make decisions whether, we continue with those or we just deal with, small things and bite-sized chunks that we can deal with. Yeah. So I will ask John just to deal with the more technical aspects in terms of the questions that have been raised.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start with the issue of DC special occupied state-owned buildings. We have leased actually properties where there is no sufficient or adequate state-owned buildings. It is not necessarily by our choice. And the reason why we have considered long-term leases vis-à-vis a short lease period is that already we have occupied these buildings more than 5 years, leasing this building more than 5 years, and we have progressively invested in those buildings just to customize them to our requirements in terms of functionality. Now, when we renew a lease, there are expectations that it has to go with the renewal of the lease. Firstly, the landlord has to contribute towards tenant installation, and he also has to upgrade the building in terms of capital injection in that particular building. But because of the uncertainty that we might not occupy the very same building beyond the lease period of 3 years, it creates a problem to us because we end up now using state-owned money in buildings that are not owned by the state. This has also emanated from the Treasury directives that were given to public works last year, precisely to deal with the backlog on renewal of leases. There was this new procurement dispensation which says public works must renew the leases for 3 years. The reason for that was that most of the leases were running on a month-to-month, and effectively it suggests that when we are being rental, that is an unauthorized expenditure. Now they were trying to regularize that by coming up with this new procurement dispensation. So all 10 departments were requested to submit their procurement instruction in terms of that particular directive. We have given all those things to Public Works, and today we are saying Public Works has only renewed only 87 or 81 leases, and then 35 are caught up in various stages of renewal. They are busy working on them. To us, when we say we have renewed a lease, we must have a copy of a duly signed lease agreement. Then we can say we've got a lease agreement that is proper in place, and we can hold the landlord to task in certain things that he must do in terms of his or her obligations. So that is the issue around the leases. Yes, there's also an issue in terms of lease versus state-owned building. As much as we would love to be on state-owned buildings, there's an issue of maintenance on the other hand. The budget for maintenance, which lies with Public Works, because we will build the buildings, we will go into these buildings, and quite honestly, we are not doing well in terms of maintenance of state-owned buildings. So that has to be also treated with that circumstance. And then there was an issue of where we have agreed, we have acknowledged the fact that our planning is not basically proper because of there are times whereby we will submit our needs to the Department of Public Works, but the delay that they cause maybe due to site clearance issues, it might take 2 to 3 years before they implement that particular project. Now, when they want to implement and they want us to confirm funding to start with that project, you find that that particular building now, maybe we have now brought in issues like sexual offense cause or vulnerable, to cater for vulnerable groups. Therefore, we have to expand the needs. Once we expand the needs, Public Works go back, exercise the site clearance certificate in terms of the new lease. The issue of optionality, in terms of the devolution of budget framework, government departments were given, there's a clause that deals with optionality whereby Public Works can delegate certain functions if ever they can do them. But there is a condition to that. One of the conditions is the issue that we have to satisfy Public Works and Treasury that we've got the capacity and our
responsibility.
Yes, sir.
I think before we get into speculation, we should decide on the future of this meeting. You see, we need access to the costs in order to get access to justice. And the more you talk, the more you just get depressed that our people are not going to get access to justice. Honorable members, I wanted to suggest that on the 26th November, we will be in Limpopo, that we get a high-level meeting between Public Works and yourselves. And we don't want all of you to tell us about the challenges. We need to be told what is it that you are going to do to resolve these matters, and also to give us time frames, because otherwise our oversight work is just pointless. Would that have your support, honorable members? That we ask them, they know the challenges, go sit down and say, this is the program to deal with the to deal with these challenges. And Public Works must be in that meeting so that they also commit to that program. By the end of the year next year, when we meet here, we should be saying that last year we were here, we have moved this progressively until our term. Otherwise, we'll sit here, we're overseeing the departments, but we'll go to another election with this challenge. And that's not going to assist our people.
Honorable Major.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the main support of your proposal, but also in addition, say, from your office, you should make it a point that you link with public works so that we don't leave it to them, only to find that when we meet, public works is for them.
Come to the meeting and let me know what the meeting is all about. So we'll have to interact with them. Any other contribution? Honorable Bonga?
No, thanks, Chair. I think the submission that we're making, it makes a lot of sense. And I support that submission because in the main, the issue that I wanted to speak on earlier and ask question about, which I also realize that we may not get fair answers. The whole issue about the financial delegations that's provided for in the legislation. So when public works is here and they're here, we'll be able to know. Because I find it very difficult to say that this issue of financial delegation just needs this accounting office and that accounting office. Just to sit in one meeting and finalize. It's unlike directing the whole court from A to Z. So if we are failing to do these things that just need the warm bodies to sit around and finalize, it may be difficult for us to erect the whole big building that is called court. So this meeting I think would assist. So they must come ready on those issues on financial delegation as provided for by National Treasures. Thanks.
Okay, we are going to write to ourselves and public works with the terms of reference of what we will expect in the meeting of the 26th of November. We want a program of action, we want time frames so that we can assure people that they will actually have access to justice. Thank you. Honorable members, thank you for your attendance and contributions. The meeting is closed.